Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Willie D is down in Atlanta with his son playing a little baseball tournament. He'll be back on the show on Monday. And I know I saw a hit yesterday that was put out on Twitter. A nice rope down the line from one Mahoney Donick. So we'll get all the details.
That was nice.
On Monday. So you saw it too?
I did. I did. I saw it on Aaron's Twitter.
Well, it was actually put out, I think, from the night. You're right. Yeah. I think he plays for the Knights, and right. I think they actually put it out, and Aaron kind of retweeted it and commented. In fact, it was funny. Her comment was, that's my son?
Yeah. That was
only
awesome.
Aaron Donnie could respond like that, and I just started cracking up, and I watched the video. Nice rope down the line. That was an impressive hit, so we'll get all the deets from Willie on Monday on how it went down in Atlanta. Speaking of football, we're going to talk with Alan Bell here in just a moment with Sportsline. I'm going to have a Facebook Live tonight at 6 o'clock with Lipscomb Academy head coach, former Ravens quarterback, Super Bowl champion Trent Dilfer will join me tonight for a Facebook Live at 6 o'clock. So a little game night action here tonight at 6. So hope a lot of you can check that out. Trent Dilfer, if you've never heard him on our show, he is fantastic to listen to. This is going to be an easy interview. I'm just going to wind Trent up and let him go. And he's a motivational speaker. He really is. Like, you can see why he's into coaching. He's such a good teacher. I'm always fascinated with the conversations with Trent Dilfer. I'm also fascinated with our conversations with our next guest, Alan Bell from Sportsline. He is on the line with us. Alan, how you doing?
Gentlemen, y'all doing all right?
Yeah, how about you?
Doing well.
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to that interview with Dilfer tonight, man. You're right. He is such a great guest. He really is.
Have you ever spoken to Trent?
No, I haven't. I've obviously listened to multiple interviews, but never spoken to him personally.
He is he's a fascinating guy. He really is. We've done some shows over at Lipscomb Academy, and he's come over and hung out with us. And I've enjoyed the on-air conversations, but I've probably enjoyed the off-air conversations, if not the same, even better. I mean, he's just a wealth of knowledge, and I'm looking forward to that tonight. I just saw where Luke Kuechly is going to stay with the Panthers, and he's going to be in a front office role. Are you still surprised that Luke Kuechly is done?
Yeah, I mean, I am. You know, I totally get it, you know, in terms of his health. And, you know, really it kind of started with Chris Borland, you know, with the 49ers years ago.
Yep.
And, you know, applaud those guys for, you know, taking care of themselves. And I'm glad that Kuechly could stay around football, you know, because I know how hard of a transition it can be to something you've done your entire life, and then you're just kind of, you know, finished. So I'm glad for him, and good for the Panthers. I mean, with a young coaching staff that's obviously new and a team that's rebuilding, he's going to be a good face to have around there for everybody involved.
Looks like, and I know the Titans are not going to be back today. Looks like they're going to wait till Monday, but the NFL did say yesterday that the staffs can return to the facilities, and I know, I believe everybody's been green-lighted in the league, except for, did I see the 49ers? They're still not going to be returning yet?
Correct, yeah, the 49ers aren't. They're going to take their time, which has kind of been their plan. We saw today Mike Tomlin of the Steelers returned, Zach Taylor of the Bengals did. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a little bit different, you know, of how every team goes about it, but it's a big step, and it's a good one. You know, it just goes to show that the NFL, you got to applaud them. I mean, they're handling this as best as they can, taking their time. They're not log jamming everybody in, you know, kind of letting, you know, people decide on their own and just following the steps correctly. The NFL doesn't always do PR and things like that correctly, but they're handling this one pretty good.
So it looks like the staff will return. So with that being said, let's just jump right into the deep end of the pool. I mean, everybody is still sitting here wondering, and you know, we've been, I feel like we've been talking to you about this for 6 months. Maybe it has been 6 months. I don't know. With the facilities opening back up, it's very clear that people want to get their eyeballs on Jadeveon Clowney. The teams want to actually have him in the facility. They want to look at him. They want to have their people look at him before any decisions are made. Do you think this is going to maybe have Clowney news in the very near future with the facilities opening back up?
I do. And let me say this, you know, whether or not he ultimately signs, you know, I don't know, but you have to think, you know, with coaches, GMs, getting back to just normal operation, being in the facility, it's going to spur conversations. It's going to spur, you know, meetings about this of teams that are interested, you know, just kind of whiteboarding it, saying, okay, let's break this thing down. How can we get this guy signed? So if you're John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, you're sitting there saying, all right, you know, here's the number that he wants. How can we get creative? So I think anytime that you have these guys, you know, around each other, physically in the room, you know, discussing this, it's going to, you know, progress things. But again, it all comes down to when does Jadeveon want to sign? What number does he want? Does he want to wait until training camp, you know, kind of get his leverage in there? That's obviously the ultimate decision. But yes, I mean, I had to think that more offers and unique ideas are going to come out of this.
If the reports are true that the Browns offered him $12 million a year and he turned that down, and they were the highest bidder out there supposedly, does that mean we are to expect that his number is going to be below that? Or what do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a couple things to take from it, right? So first is, you know, if he turned that down, you know, what exactly is Clowney looking for, right? So if it were all about money, I think he would have signed that, because I don't think his number is going to go higher because teams just literally can't afford to do it, right? Seattle, you know, is in a bit of a crunch. Tennessee's in a bit of a crunch, not as bad as Seattle. But again, these teams just don't have a ton of money to throw at them. So, you know, it seems like there is a little bit beyond just money. It could, you know, look at, you know, the amount of years, you know, that he's looking to do on a deal. And the team, I think that's a big portion of this as well, is where can he go make a big impact and win. And I think Tennessee offers a better option than anybody, not only for the team being good, but the experience, you know, he's had with Mike Vrabel. And if Clowney's looking at a one-year deal, well, then there's no better place to go than Tennessee, because you can come in on a really good team, make an impact, and if you want to go to free agency again next year, your number's going to shoot, you know, through the moon. So it just makes complete sense that Tennessee would be the team for him. But again, you know, it all depends on what's on his mind.
Yeah, and it seems like he's a guy that, you know, we keep hearing that, you know, needs to stay motivated. And we used to have these conversations about Albert Haynesworth. He was so good, so dominant, but you always would hear takes plays off or needs to be, you know, motivated sometimes to get that motor running like that. At all. They want to see that more. That seems like the same kind of narrative or storyline around Clowney. And to me, I can't think of a better motivator than to have him in the AFC South going up against the Texans twice a year. I mean, wouldn't that
100%.
Motivate him?
And, you know, yeah, no, I agree with you. And think about this also. You know, when the Tom Brady discussions were here, right, when he was in free agency, you know, what did we talk about, you know, specifically on this show, is that Mike Vrabel and John Robinson know Tom Brady better than anybody. So if they're interested or not interested, you know, they've got the best perspective on that. So take that and think about Jadeveon Clowney and what you just laid out. Mike Vrabel knows him better than anyone. So if Tennessee is truly motivated to go get him, you know, that goes to show that Vrabel knows exactly what he's going to get and he wants him. But if Tennessee, you know, kind of falls out, you know, in terms of, you know, a high price or even wanting to sign him all to begin with, again, that's Mike Vrabel saying, look, I know this guy completely. He's not worth this money. We'd like him, but again, we're not going to do it. So I've watched Mike Vrabel here and watch what the Titans do, because, I mean, you know, Vrabel will show you exactly what he thinks and what the team thinks about him.
Good points. Good points. So let's say that they are able to get it done and they pull him in here. Isn't it pretty clear in everybody's mind, don't the Titans then become the front runner to win the AFC South by everybody, right? I mean, aren't they? I know it's a dangerous game. The Browns were crowned last year in the offseason. They didn't work out well, but I feel like everybody's going to rush to crown the Titans the AFC South champ if that happens. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I agree. I think you'll see a pretty good shift in Vegas line. And you know, think about it where we're at right now. It's pretty much neck and neck, the Titans and the Colts. You know, depending on the book you're going to look at, one will be favored, but it's going to be right there neck and neck. So I think if Tennessee does go and make that kind of splash signing, you'll see, you know, a dramatic shift in sports books that favor them, you know, NFL analysts that favor the Titans because, I mean, that's just such a good signing on a team that's already solid and good and returning pretty much, you know, almost everyone, at least, you know, starters on offense and most of them on defense. So, yeah, I mean, Tennessee would absolutely, you know, not only be favored, but they would certainly be talked about in a news cycle where there's not much going on.
We're talking to Alan Bell from Sportsline, 24/7 Sports, and I do have a gambling question for you in just a second, but we'll start with Devontae Freeman. He's still a free agent, still got maybe a little something left in the tank, but not what he once was. Tampa, that's kind of been out there. He has said Tampa needs to contact him directly. What would you think about that, Devontae Freeman and the Bucs?
Well, Tampa Bay makes the most sense, right? They need a running game, and he would certainly help. And not only in just rushing, but a guy who can catch passes out of the backfield, which Tom Brady loves, you know, that aspect of the offense, right? The problem is that Tampa Bay only has about $5 million in salary cap. Plus, you want to keep about $1 million on hand during the season in case you have an injury. You know, you don't want to wipe out all your funds. So Freeman's going to have to look at a reduced number if he's going to sign with him. The sports line, we actually put out the odds today on Devontae Freeman and where he would sign. The leader is the Philadelphia Eagles. The Bucks are second, pretty close neck and neck. You know, Eagles are plus 250, Bucks plus 300. Interesting. Third is the Tennessee Titans. All right. And, really? You know, I know that it's kind of a crazy thought, but adding someone like him, if the price is right, to have a number two behind Henry, pair him up with Darrington Evans, and then a guy that Tannehill can use in that swing pass game, kind of what they wanted to do with Deion Lewis, is an interesting aspect. So keep that on your mind. Just keep a look at what his price tag is going to be and what he's looking for.
Well, I was going to just ask that, just for giggles, because I have seen on Twitter, you know, would the Titans be interested in Devontae Freeman? They just drafted Darrington Evans, as you said. But I wonder if part of the evolution of the offense could be using, you know, having that Deion Lewis or what you hope Deion Lewis was going to be, using that even more. And if you have two guys that are capable of doing that, I guess that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not, you know. And, we heard Arthur Smith talk the other day in terms of the offense. And what he said is what, you know, you guys have been saying for a while, which makes complete sense. You know, they want to balance this offense around a lot of stud star type players, right? And, you know, the more diverse you are, the harder you are to defend. So, you know, I think it's an interesting look. And again, you know, Derrick Henry, it'll be better for everyone, you know, if he isn't, you know, I don't want to say the you know, leading rusher, you know, the NFL season again. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it works out better if you're more diverse and more difficult to defend. So I think it's an interesting idea. Again, Clowney part is going to come into it. The money part is going to come into it. But it's not a bad idea at all.
Well, it's funny you bring that up about Derrick Henry, because we were talking about this last week, and I said I actually think he can have a better year than he did last year. And I know that's saying a lot and that's crazy, but I really do. And I brought that up with former Titans safety Michael Griffin, got his thoughts on it. And he said the thing that really helps Derrick is he's so big and hard to bring down. So it's not crazy to think that he could continue to get better, just because if he gets, you know, gets to the next level, you're not going to catch him. It's hard to bring him down. So I've seen some books have him at 40-1, some have him at 50-1 to win the MVP. What do you think about that, even though you know the others that are going to be contending for it?
So I think you bring up a good multifaceted question, right? So first off, I'll say this. I don't disagree with you. Derrick Henry could repeat and almost be better than he was last year, and he could possibly do it on less carries, right? Like, if this offense is truly diverse, it's going to be even harder to take down Derrick Henry late in games and late in the season. So I agree with you on that. And then two, you know, the MVP is difficult because it's really become such just a quarterback award, right? Like, it's so difficult to take that away from quarterbacks because they just get all the votes. But again, you know, if Derrick Henry does what he did last year, I mean, think about, you know, it's hard for us to have the perfect perspective because we all knew about Derrick Henry, at least locally. But think about, like, the end of the year and end of the playoffs of the national story he became. Like, everyone started to understand what Nashville already knew, that this guy is just a monster, right? So if he comes out and just has just a killer season, you know, all the way through, he will get votes. He'll be in the conversation. The hard part is that it's just so difficult with quarterbacks out there that just put up, you know, just gargantuan numbers.
Alan, as we kind of wrap this up, how do you think the league is going to, I don't know if handle is the right word, or what do you think is, how do you think this 2020 year is going to play out with what's going on in our country? I mean, there's news surrounding an NFL player like every day around this, whether it's Jake Fromm, whether it's Drew Brees, whether it's Matt Ryan, you know, saying what he said and doing what he's doing, you know, the Vikings taking the day off so they can attend a memorial. How do you think this season is going to play out?
Yeah, it's going to be tough, right? I mean, there's so much going on across the country in terms of, you know, everything with, you know, protests and things like that. So if looking at the NFL, I think that what the approach that they'll take is this, is that they're not going to put out a ton of statements and rules and regulations. I think you'll see them kind of, you know, sit on the back burner a little bit and just listen, right, and let the players and teams guide them of where they want to help. And the NFL, you know, the one big thing that they have that they can do is that they have money, right? Like, they have money, and I think you'll see a league really put out even more than they have, you know, the last couple years, and just try to go about that approach. And I think it's a smart approach. I think it's a good approach. Just listen, let, you know, the players and coaches and, you know, all that, they'll point you in the right direction. So I think the NFL is going to take a very cautious and heed approach and just kind of let them show where they can help. And they'll certainly do that and just try to, you know, keep everything, you know, just kind of de-escalated, not, you know, try to force anything. And if they do that, I think it'll be the right approach.
Yep. Training camp message was put out there. Everybody needs to stay at their facility. No joint training camps. Is this all signs pointing towards it's business as usual for the NFL? Are we expecting a late July training camp around the Titans and around the league?
Yeah, I do. And I think that they're going to get this thing going, and they'll take it day by day and, you know, do the best they can. But what we've seen from the NFL, you know, from the draft and everything, is that they're going to be smart in their approach, but there will be the NFL, and they're going to have a season, and they're going to go about it. So they've been smart this offseason, kept it cool, but they're going to get into training camp, get into the, you know, the preseason. And again, you know, you'll probably have some players or coaches that test positive, but they're going to handle that in an intelligent way. And, I would not be worried about an NFL season. It's going to happen.
Alan, good stuff as always. We appreciate the visit. You have a great weekend. Continue to be safe.
Man, y'all too. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Alan. That is Alan Bell with Sportsline. CBS Sports does a really good job of covering the NFL. We will come back more on the other side of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. This is one of my favorite scenes in Bohemian Rhapsody, if I could say it, spit that out. Say that really fast five times.
It's one of my favorite scenes in Wayne's World.
Well, that's true. It's everybody, you know, well, not everybody, but it, you can relate to, yeah, I guess maybe not at that level, but everybody's kind of had a swing and a miss, right? Sometime in their lifetime where they've made a decision and it was a swing and a miss, right? I mean, that's just part of life.
Yep.
Now, some of the swings and misses are different levels, but in that movie, you know, the swing and the miss was, You know, I'm like, you guys are never, you know, this song is stupid.
Yeah, Mike Myers' character.
Nobody's ever going to listen to this song. This is ridiculous. And, you know, it ended that relationship. And, of course, they signed on with another label, and the rest is history. And, in fact, at the end, you know, when they're doing Live Aid, you know, that same guy is sitting there at his desk, and you could tell he's going, man, did I mess that one up? You know, because obviously that cost his company millions and millions of dollars because he told basically Freddie Mercury and Queen to get lost.
Yep.
Like, nobody cares about you. You guys are never going to be that big. I always laugh when I hear that. Because you're right, we've all had that, right? We've made a decision. And like I said, it's different levels. But we felt strongly about something, and then you realize that later down the road that it was a total miss.
What's so funny about that song, or not funny, but interesting about that song is it, you know, it's charted multiple times at different points. You know, its original release, when it came out with Wayne's World, I think it even was on the charts again with the movie. And mm-hmm. it doesn't matter the generation, but it stays consistent and people seem to like it. So, and it's a good song.
Well, and they also, didn't they re-release it right after his death and it went number one again?
Yep. Yeah, 91.
Yeah, and that was like, what, 14 years later?
Yeah. Yep.
Pretty amazing. Don't forget, you can download us anywhere. It's pretty easy. You download the Nashville app, which is free and easy. You can enable Alexa Skill or Google Home and ask it to play 102.5 The Game, or you can live stream from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. Very easy stuff to listen to us in lots of ways. And I know a lot of you take advantage of that on a daily basis. You just made the list coming up at high noon. Kevin Weeks, you're going to want to hear this. NHL Network at the bottom of that hour. So that'll be at 12:30. And then we'll do a little Friday trivia here on the show. So good stuff from Alan Bell, as always. And I'm going to bring both of you in this because I know we got into a little bit of Drew Brees yesterday, but I wanted to do a little bit deeper dive because he's come out with a long apology on social media. He's now also come out with a long apology on video. So he's clearly, you know, Drew Brees does not want to be perceived as the bad guy. He wants to own up to what he said. And I listened a little bit more to the Yahoo Finance interview. And if you listen to the interview a little bit more at length than maybe what's been put out there, like they trimmed it down to what got all this started. But he's just a guy who loves his country. He definitely is hardcore, you know, believes in the military. I think he said his grandfathers fought in the wars, you know, World War I and World War II. And so it just means the flag, the anthem, military, it's very, very meaningful to him. By the way, it's also meaningful to millions and millions of people in this country. And so actually his message was really cool, and he believes in that, and he feels strongly about it. Obviously, 4 years later he said that, but he also realizes that there is a bigger picture, and there's also another message attached to that. And I think that's where he feels bad and feels like he dropped the ball on. So I'm going to ask you guys this, because I kind of threw that out to Alan, because I truly don't know where this is going for this NFL season. It's not going away. That's for sure, and nor should it. I don't know if fans are going to be in the stands. I suspect they are. At what capacity, I don't know. But it's not going to be sold-out stadiums like it was 4 years ago when Colin Kaepernick took the knee and all this got started into the 2016 season. But I do wonder, is there a solution where everybody can be happy? Is there a solution where we can accomplish both things, where we respect the flag, we respect our military, we respect how people feel about that, but we also respect what's going on in our country, and we respect the movement, we respect the message, and we try to address that in the proper way too? Is there a way to do both?
I think that's a very good question, and I don't have the right answer for it, because to be honest, it feels like at times that the answer would be no. Now, that's just because you're going to have people on one side or the other or in the middle. And that's the problem, is trying to get everybody on the same or a similar page. And so I don't know, because you're always going to have those people that stand by what they say of, well, kneeling is disrespectful, whereas kneeling is viewed in some ways as a sign of respect. So it's just, you're going to have mixed opinions on it. So I don't think there's ever going to be a perfect answer. And that's why we're in some of the situations that we're in.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because I kind of felt like we actually saw possibly the perfect solution, or not, it's never going to be perfect. The alternative solution, because I saw clips when the Saints that year played in London and they were locked arm in arm and the entire team was on the sideline in a row and on a knee. But they did that pre-anthem. And then when the anthem started, then they stood. Because if you notice, Drew Brees stands up. He's got his hand over his heart. And so they did both, right? The team was locked arm in arm on the sidelines in a straight line on one knee before the anthem. So sending the message there and addressing what was going on at the time. And then right before the anthem started, everybody then stood up and did it the way we've been accustomed to over the years. So I do wonder, is that a way? Is there another way? Because I just feel like that there are people like Drew Brees. There are millions of people that believe the same way. And I would like for the message not to get blurred. I would like for that to be taken out, because I know people beat the table and they're like, you don't understand, that doesn't have to do with the flag, you're missing the point. And I get it, but guess what, we're 4 years later and we're still having to do that, which tells me 4 years from now we would still be having to do the same thing to lots and lots and lots of people. So is there a way to take that out of the equation where both sides can win? That's the reason I ask.
Yeah.
Marquise, do you have a strong opinion one way or the other?
Yeah, see, and I had a long discussion yesterday with a few people of, you know, just trying to educate each other on everything that's going on in this world. And I said this yesterday, you're not going to please everybody. And, you know, if you kneel, you know, people are still going to have issues with it. If you don't kneel, people are going to have issues with it. So it's just, you're going to pretty much make someone angry. So I think the locked arm things was perfect. I think that was a perfect way to look. We're standing for the flag. We're not kneeling. We're standing for the flag, but we're standing at brothers at arms. Like, we're standing together as a unity. You know, this is deeper than just football. We're brotherhood. And I think that word gets thrown around a lot in sports and in the NFL. And that's kind of a way to showcase, like, this is a brotherhood. And let's do it off the field as well. And I think that's something that Drew Brees is going to have to learn. You know, he talked about it yesterday of, like, I need to be out here and help my brothers out, not just on the field, but off of it as well. So there's ways to do it outside of just the realm that is football. But, like, yesterday, like, you know, they wanted to protest. We had protests here in Nashville. And instead of having a protest, we brought a couple friends over and we had a conversation, and just I shared my story and how I live my life on an everyday basis. They shared their concerns and their questions that they had for me, and we had a constructive conversation about things. And I think, you know, that's a way to, you know, get this thing moving, is just having those conversations first. So, and I think if a bunch of teams want to get together and have this conversation and figure out what they want to do as a team, I'm all for that. But, yeah, you know, I just don't know if kneeling is going to be the answer, because once again, just like with the looting and, you know, the rioting, it's just going to distract from the actual purpose itself.
Takes away, exactly.
So
it just takes away from the message, the real message.
So let's find another solution. Because we already know it distracted last time, because now 4 years later, we're talking about, man, that Colin Kaepernick guy, he was right, you know, the whole time. Well, we could have listened 4 years ago, but we were so distracted. A lot of people were so distracted at what he was doing and not why he was doing it.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I'm all for, if players want to kneel, that's fine. But I'm against it only because it delays the message once again, and we don't need that to happen again. We just need to figure out another way to protest without actually going out and protesting.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Can we do the kneeling before the anthem? Can we do that after the anthem? I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there because I feel like you. I want, and by the way, I'm not going to tell people that feel strongly about the way they do about kneeling during the anthem. I'm not going to tell them they're wrong. They have every right to feel that way if that's the way they feel. And clearly they feel very strongly about it, especially people who have served and put their life on the line for this country. I'm not about to tell them how they should feel and that they should change their mind. I'm not going to do it. But also, it doesn't mean that you can't still get the message out there.
Sure.
And if the message is taking a knee, then can we come up with a solution where everybody is happy, where we at least try to, whether it's before the anthem or after the anthem? Can we send a message, you know, without getting blurring the lines during the anthem? Because, Marquise, that's a good example. This is why I was in a deep, dark place over the weekend for Saturday night, because during the day it was effective and powerful. At night, you lost
me. Like yesterday.
And I was sad. Yes, and it's been going. Look, Murfreesboro, stuff in Rutherford County has been going on. Businesses are closing up because, you know, there's messages out there, we're coming to loot and, you know, mess up your stores. I don't understand that. That makes zero sense to me. Like, you turn me off to everything. You turn me off to the message once you are bringing innocent people into this and you're destroying things. Like, to me, now I'm out. I'm not interested. And it's not fair to the message because they may have nothing to do with these groups, right? Nothing to do with them. But we've got to figure out a way to stop blurring the lines. The message can be effective and powerful without blurring the lines. And I feel like kneeling during the anthem is blurring the lines. What this, you know, the rioting and looting is blurring the lines. So how do we get past all that and get back on point?
Well, here's part of my message, because this is, and I've had private conversations with people about this. One thing that has to stop is anytime we have a conversation like this, and that's what this needs to be, a conversation, people just start getting angry. Like, oh, I just have to show you how mad I am, whether it's on social media or, you know, calling in or what have you. That's not solving anything. Anger is what has started all this. It's having a conversation, a peaceful conversation, like a peaceful protest yesterday that was started by four teenagers. Like, if they got it figured out, and we talk about the youth of America, I mean, if they can put that together, come on. Surely we can all have this conversation. But just, you know, tweeting, like, I got a tweet from somebody yesterday and they deleted it within a minute, just cussing me out and just going all over the place and saying things that weren't true. What does that solve? You hide behind a computer screen and say you're a big person at that point. What does that do, though? That doesn't do anything. And that's what we have to do. And now I think social media sometimes needs to just be parked for a little bit. Let's all have face to face and have a conversation 6 feet apart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but you know, I think that can help solve some of this. And somebody texted in and said Drew Brees didn't have to apologize. Is he not allowed to have an opinion? This is what's missed with this. Yeah, he did apologize, but Drew Brees is also now trying to see the bigger meaning and learn and educate himself. That's where I applaud Drew Brees.
Absolutely. And I, yesterday when we had a group of people over, it was, you know, four white, one, you know, one or three white, one Hispanic and biracial, and then me. And, you know, we just had I think we started at 6:30, had a discussion up until 10 o'clock at night of just, and me sharing my stories. Like, no one's going to know what it's like to live in black skin, but me. Like, I know what it's like to be in black skin. I've been in black skin for 29 years of my life. And all people want to do is just listen. Like, that's it. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. I'm not here to say, well, the kneeling for the flag is okay. And I'm not here. You have an opinion on that. That's fine. All I'm doing is just listen. I'm going to let you know why he was kneeling for the flag and why he was doing a certain thing. and just explain and listen. But some people don't. Some people just want to take the negative narrative of he's disrespecting the flag instead of just, you know, curious to look up why Colin Kaepernick is kneeling for the flag. Or why other players like Brandon Marshall from the Denver Broncos, or why these players are doing that. But that's, we always jump the gun with another opinion instead of doing research and actually having a conversation with people and learning why something is what it is. And that's our problem.
I just hope the players, because I know this is not going away, nor should it. I hope that they have a plan. I hope they're talking about this for this upcoming season, because I would really just hate to go down the same road as they've been going down for the last 4 years, because I feel pretty strongly that people who feel strongly about kneeling during the anthem are not going to change their mind. And if that's how they feel, that's how they feel. Then I would like for them to come up with another way to still keep the message going and, send out what they've been trying to do for 4 years. I'm trying to eliminate blurred lines, and I'm just telling you, it's not going to go away if you kneel during the anthem. People who feel the way they do, especially people who have served and put their life on the line for this country, you're not going to change their mind. So I would like for them, and I hope that they are talking, and they're maybe coming up with another way to do this. Maybe is it before the anthem? Is it after the anthem? What other methods can you get your message across? What other things can you do as a group, as a team, and get the message across where we don't keep having these same discussions about the anthem, and we don't have the same people who get angry whenever it's like, you don't understand, you're missing the message. Like, we've heard that for 4 years. Like, doesn't your hand hurt from beating the table? Like, can we get past that? Like, let's come up with something else so this can be effective. If you go down the same path, you know, it's going to have the same result again. And so, you know, we always say, what's the definition of insanity, right? Okay, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And it's going to turn into insanity, because we're going to keep doing the same thing and it's going to have the same result and we're looking for a different result and it's never going to happen. So I hope that they are actively talking, teams around the league. And when, you know, hopefully when they get back together, they can do it now on Zoom. They have other ways. We found out for the last 3 months there are other ways for you to talk rather than getting together. And I hope that they are talking and figuring out a way as they approach, because I know it's not going away in 2020, nor should it in this upcoming season. So let's come up with a plan that works so we don't keep going down the same rabbit hole every single time. I don't want to do it on the show. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole every week of, you know, here we go again. It's like, we've been doing it for 4 years, so let's come up with something else.
Rashard Matthews, you know, Rashard Matthews with the Titans and that conversation with him. And so, yeah, no, I agree. And that's where now we're at that point of, hey, let's get on the same page. So, yeah, I completely understand what you're saying.
And, Darren, I agree with you that that's what should happen. But also, Roger Goodell needs to be a part of that as well.
I'm not putting faith in Roger Goodell.
Yeah, I'm not either. But
I'd like for them to do it without him, because I don't trust. You know, I don't put faith in him to help anything, quite honestly.
Yeah, because I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. They had their statement, in a lot of the leagues, a lot of entities have had statements this week, and the NFL made a statement, and you know, a lot of people took exception to it in reference Colin Kaepernick and how Colin Kaepernick was treated, and now he's been out of the league since then. So, and you know, I agree with you on Roger Goodell. That's
the only thing I've got faith in Roger Goodell is that he makes the owners money, and lots of it, and he makes a lot of money. That's about it. That's kind of where I stop. I think Gary wants to weigh in. What's up?
Yeah, I'm a veteran. I'm over 60. My dad's name's on the wall in Vietnam. And I tell you, the easiest way to get rid of the concern about kneeling during the anthem is, let's just stop playing the anthem in front of the games. It's there to make money. It's not there to support the troops, because when my dad was in Vietnam, the anthem wasn't being played. So stop that. And please don't lump all veterans into the same group of, we're all going to get offended if somebody kneels during the anthem. Last time I checked, my oath that I took when I enlisted was to support and defend the Constitution. And the Constitution guarantees the right of freedom of expression. That's what I served for. That's what I've got a Purple Heart for, is defending those people's rights to kneel during the anthem, during a parade. It's not necessary to play the national anthem before the football game.
Gary, thank you for the call, and thank you for what you've done for this country. Really appreciate it.
I
am not casting a net. I try never to cast a net on this show, ever, about anything. I don't want people – because I always preach don't cast a net on us. Okay, don't
– Sure.
If you're mad at something, don't lump us into it. We had nothing to do with it, and I try not to do that to anybody else. And I'm certainly not saying that all veterans feel that way. All I can go off of, Gary, is the number of calls that we have fielded or comments on social media, whether it's Twitter, whatever, Facebook, Instagram, pick it, that we've seen over 4 years. There's enough evidence to show that there's a majority, a good portion of people that are currently in the military or who have served in the military that feel that way, or they have family members like Drew Brees that have done that, that feel very strong that way. But I'm not lumping everybody in there. I'm not casting a net. I try never to do that on this show. As for not playing the anthem, I mean, that's your opinion. I wouldn't be in favor of that. I would not like to see the anthem go away. I love the anthem at sporting events. You know, you're entitled to your opinion, and if you say you'd be cool with that, that's fine. I would not be. I don't ever want to see the anthem go away from sporting events. That's me.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I don't want to see it go away either, because it's, you know, that's how I've always started a sporting event, is rising for the anthem. And you know, NASCAR has a prayer and an anthem. Most sports, it's just the anthem. But I wouldn't get rid of that either. And I'm one of those too. I'm not trying to cast a net on anybody. You know, I think that that's what he brought up, was the oath he took. We do have the right to express ourselves, but I think there's a proper way to do it. And burning the courthouse or Broadway is not the way to do that. And sitting down and having a conversation or a peaceful protest, that is the way. And that's what we need to do, is just have that conversation. But I agree with you, Darren. Let's not get rid of the anthem before a game, because I think that's important.
We'll come back and wrap up the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. You just made the list as the Doors bring us back from the break. Coming up at noon, who or what has made you mad? Friday trivia at 1 o'clock. Kevin Weeks at 12:30. Looking forward to that conversation coming up here shortly. Looks like we've got a little UFC 250 this weekend.
Yes, we do.
Seen that ESPN indeed has been blowing that up. What, Nunes and Spencer, is that the main event?
Yep. That is the main event indeed, so should be good. As they're doing this from UFC Apex, which I guess, Marquise, that's kind of like their...
Yep, that's in Vegas.
Their performance center type deal. But, I probably will check it out tomorrow night.
But this is a pay-per-view event, correct?
Yeah, at least the prelims. We'll see about the main card. I did watch 249, but we'll see. Should be good, though. I'm glad that they're keeping it going, and now they're in Vegas. And I know Vegas has reopened.
Yes, they have. I saw the ads. How about that?
Yeah.
On television, flipping around, it's like, we are open. They're going full-blown ads out there saying, we are open for business. MLB willing to pay players full prorated salaries over a 48-game season. 48.
Now we're at 48.
48. Before you know it, they'll just come out and just say, we're going to do a couple doubleheaders, and we'll go into the playoffs. Play for a week and head to the playoffs. Maybe that'll happen. Oklahoma State basketball. I don't know if you guys have seen this. They've been popped. A former coach accepted some bribes. And, of course, that's a no-no.
Can't be doing that.
Can't be doing that. And Oklahoma State basketball. And I have not seen anywhere where that coach, the former associate head coach, has been named. Has anybody seen
No,
I have not seen the name anywhere. They just keep saying a former associate head coach at Oklahoma State took bribes. So Oklahoma State, the Cowboys, will receive 3 years probation. They will be banned from postseason from this upcoming year. So the 2020-21 season, they have a postseason ban, $10,000 fine, 1% of the men's basketball program budget, which probably in these days isn't much, the reduction of scholarships by a total of 3, a reduction of official visits. I mean, just kind of the same. Let's see, a 10-year show cause for the former associate head coach. Just stuff like that. No more T-shirts given out at camps. No, I didn't see that on there. But anyway, Oklahoma State popped for a coach that accepted bribes. So there will be a postseason ban on the Cowboys. I don't know if they're supposed to be good this year or not.
Yeah, and you did I hear you say that that's the first FBI case-related punishment handed down by the NCAA? Or
this is all stemming from little wiretaps.
Yeah, and that goes along the lines of the conversation we had.
The case 3 years ago.
When the scheme, we talked about it with the scheme when that came out on HBO. They said they're going to get everybody, mm-hmm. and I haven't really seen them do that. So
no, you talk about a swing and a miss, and rarely does the FBI have a swing and a miss.
No, they did in this case.
By their standards, this is a swing and a miss. True?
Yes. Yes. Absolute swing and a miss.
I also saw where some kids, according to Baseball America, there's been a couple high school players, Dylan Cruz and Brandon Fields, that have withdrawn their names. Florida State outfielder Reese Albert said, you know what, I take that back. I'm just going to go on and go back to Florida State. Let's see, Cruz is going to LSU. So he has withdrawn his name. Dylan Cruz is going to go to LSU. That's where he committed. And Brandon Fields is going to South Carolina. So a couple kids that were going to come out of high school and go straight into the draft have decided to go play college ball in the SEC. And then Kyle Teal was the other kid that's withdrawing his name, and he's a high school catcher, and he will go play at Virginia. So some big-name kids, and now are going to go to some big-time schools. The only one that was returning was Reese Albert, who's returning to Florida State. 3 big-time high school prospects are going to go back to school and go to LSU, South Carolina, and Virginia. Just wanted to pass that along.
Did you see any of the Collegiate Summer Baseball Invitational that started last night on ESPN? I actually watched a couple of innings of it.
No, tell me about it.
It's exactly what it sounds. It's an invitational of college baseball players. I know LaTroy Hawkins is involved with it as one of the coaches, but it was the first college baseball game since all this began. No fans in attendance, but over 70 Division I schools from across the country are represented in this tournament. It was neat to see some college players that, the draft is in a few days, but they were able to actually play baseball. So it's like an all-star type game, to have some players, involved in it. But, I watched a little bit of it last night, and I know it's ongoing, but pretty cool thing that has been put together in Bryan, Texas. I hadn't heard about it until yesterday, when I started seeing some interviews on it, and then I was scrolling through or flipping through channels last night and caught a little bit of it. So pretty cool. Glad that some of these guys are able to play.
Very nice. Right now, Major League Baseball PA saying they're going to stand firm on their rejection of what the league and the owners countered with. So who knows where this is going on the Major League Baseball side. They are basically the last group yet to come up with their return to play, or in this case, just play. They haven't returned from anything. They never started. So who knows where this is going with Major League Baseball. I don't know. I don't feel great about it. I guess you have to still hold out faith that in the end, they're going to realize that this is going to be a bad look, and they'll never be able to recruit that money as players, and they'll figure out a solution. But I also have never thought it would get to this point, because we've been talking about it for 3 months, and everybody knew, everybody could see how vitally important it was going to be for the sport and how much of a bad look it would be. And it'll be worse than 94 if they don't have a season this year. Baseball will pay big time from the fans if they don't have any type of season at all or playoffs this year. So hopefully they can get it, they can get this figured out. But I don't know. As we sit here today, I'm just not sure. Does not look good. Outlook not good, if I'm shaking that that A ball. Outlook not good.
Are they going to be on the list?
I don't know. We'll see. That's coming up next. You just made the list. 615-737-1025. 737-1025. Tell us who or what is on your list. That's next.